So I'm well aware that I'm the only one standing between you and lunch, so I'll try not to drag this out. I'm very glad to be able to be here and talk about some work that I began while I was still at CIMMET. I've made a transition since I started this to Oklahoma State University. And so the title of the talk is Impact of Spring Wheat Rooting Depth on Sustainable Water Use Under Current and Future Climates. And one of the main motivations for this as we look at climate change and in breeding for adaptation to abiotic stresses, have this figure from the AR5 synthesis report published in 2013, which is a good summary of kind of what we expect by the end of the century. And, it's, well, not a big surprise that it's supposed to be a lot hotter, upwards of 5 or 6 degrees, depending on where you're talking about, within wheat-producing areas by the end of the century, if you take the higher CO2 emissions projection. Changes in precipitation a little bit more variable, with some areas going up, some going down. So the idea behind this study was to say, okay, well, we've been talking about breeding for abiotic stress resistance at CIMMET for a while. How do we account for both what's going on now and what may be going on in the future? Are our current strategies going to be sustainable in the long run? Are we putting traits into wheat that's going to be useful 20 years from now? And so this is kind of a summary of the conceptual model that's been used within the wheat physiology program at CIMMET, the International Maize and Wheat Improvement Center, to look at different traits and how they contribute to yield under abiotic stress conditions. So under drought stress, of course, the primary constraint is water, access to water. But even in the case of heat stress, you'll look in the lower right-hand portion of the figure, it's important that we have adequate rooting to provide water to the plant to be able to transpire. Obviously, if you have enough water in the soil, if you don't have enough roots to take it up, then that's not going to help you. And so this is a sort of conceptual model that helps to guide the physiological breeding program at CIMMET. But the question is, okay, well, how much deeper do we need to go? What kind of rooting profile do we need to be able to supply the water? So that's what sort of motivated this. So the idea was to use, my colleague Matthew Reynolds wanted to start with spreadsheet, and I said, well, I think we can do a little bit better than a spreadsheet in terms of looking at water balances and things like that. And so the idea was to use a simulation model to quantify the impact of rooting depths on yield and water use for lower latitude spring wheat across a range of different environments, so higher yielding and then heat and drought stressed environments. So the model that we chose to use for this particular study was the series wheat model as it's implemented within the DSAT CSM cropping systems model. Used two different ET methods to try to get at some of the difference in methods across environmental conditions. Some perform a little better than others, and so the idea was to capture some of the range of that. We took soil profile data from the WISE soil database, and what we did was to overlap. So CIMMET has this breeding strategy based on what we call mega environments, which is climatic conditions, soil and climatic conditions that it's not based on world regions, but it's based on climatic similarity across different parts of the world. And so what we did was to overlay the maps of those mega environments with soil data to be able to get at, okay, let's characterize what's going on across these different conditions. And so the historical climate data came from the AgMara database, and then we used 20 CMIP-5 projections, different model projections, using the AgMIP climate scenario generation tool, which is essentially a delta method, so you're adding a change to that. So this is the range of sites that were included for the simulation study, and the different colors represent the different mega environments. So ME1, mega environment 1, tends to be higher yielding sites. ME5 is higher temperature constrained sites, and then the ME4A and C are two different kinds of drought patterns that we see in different places. And so You can see that there's quite a wide range of locations that are represented within the data set. So I'm going to talk about three different variables. I mean, I know I'm limited on time. And so what we're really interested in is the relative contribution the deeper that we go. And so as we look at these the figures, the way I've plotted them, and goodness, with six, when you run all the simulations, I had a little over 6 million data points to deal with, which gets really hairy, and especially if you're trying to make comparisons between certain ones. I mean, for example, at the 50 centimeter rooting depth, some of them didn't yield at all. You know, you had essentially crop failure in the more drought prone environments, and so how to handle all of that's a challenge. But anyway, if anyone's got suggestions, I am open to suggestions for how to further do the analysis. What you can see, though, is by plotting with respect to one rooting depth with respect to the other is the relative contribution. So points above the line would indicate a higher yield under the same environmental conditions. Okay, so these are each point represents the same site year combination. And so when those points are above the line, you can see that there's an advantage of having deeper rooting there. Now this is for yield and for the different mega environments that I talked about. So the high yielding in the upper left, temperature constrained on the right, and then two different kinds of drought on the bottom. And that's consistent throughout the figures that I'll be showing. So for the biggest difference that we saw was between the 50 centimeter depth and the 100 centimeter depth. And you can see that even in the irrigated environment that we have for the mega environment one, you can still see some benefit to having the deeper rooting. Now, as you move to comparing 100 centimeters to 150 centimeter rooting depth, you begin to see diminishing effects of that. And when you get down to comparing between 150 and 200, again, it's closing in around that line. You're being constrained by other things besides the rooting depth. And so you can actually see some of the similar patterns for something like, so this is extractable soil moisture. I should have added that qualifier on there, but extractable soil water at maturity. And you can see that now in this case, below the line indicates that for the 100 centimeter rooting depth, we have greater water extraction. And so the extractable soil water at the end of the season is lower than in the 50 centimeter. And you see a similar pattern across the different rooting depths, so that you have a diminishing effect as you compare the rooting depths between, you know, 100 and 150, 150 and 200. This was not as pronounced in the cumulative ET, which was interesting, and I'm still trying to sort a lot of this out. But the in general, the trends are similar in that you have a wider spread for the shallower, comparing the shallower depths as you go deeper, then the effect is diminished. So that was for the historical climate data that we had. When we go to future climate conditions, we actually have a representation that's a bit wider, and so a much larger spread in what's happening. Much more variability in the patterns. And so although we do see substantial benefit in some cases, even we have points below the line, which would indicate that for some reason a 100 centimeter rooting depth is not favorable for yield under certain conditions. I'm still trying to sort that one out. And if anyone has a suggestion, I'd be open to hearing that. My current hypothesis is that there are carry-on effects, knock-on effects, and that maybe if you extract the water one year that maybe it's not available the next year. Maybe there's some interaction effects there, something along those lines. In any case, the general patterns are consistent in that as you go from the shallower depths that it does actually narrow down and you get a narrower band, they begin to perform a lot more similarly. So that's for yield. Similar patterns then for extractable soil moisture, in that you have this effect of greater extraction with the deeper rooting, but then that's diminished as you go deeper. So again, this is not a totally different story. Quite similar between the present and future climate But at least I wanted to share that as a visual representation of the range of values that we see there. So if we want to summarize this, the results, these are preliminary results, but what we could say is that deeper rooting generally improved yield, but not universally. There's still a lot of those points that fell below the line for certain conditions, and so there's still quite a bit that needs to be sorted out there. That generally deeper rooting ended up in greater water extraction, no big surprise there. We kind of would expect that. And that there were diminished effects of rooting depth beyond 100 centimeters. So that first jump from 50 to 100 centimeters, you saw the biggest difference, and then beyond that, it becomes much more difficult to see distinct differences. And so what we saw was that there were similar effects under present and future climate conditions, at least as represented within our sample. And so, you know, there definitely, I guess with the Delta method, maybe there are some stationarity issues there that we're not breaking free of that historical pattern. So it's not that surprising. One thing that's not necessarily accounted for here would be changes in rainfall patterns. In other words, if you just change the amount of rainfall with a simple delta method, you don't pick up the differences in terms of dry, wet, dry periods and things like that. So obviously this is an initial step. We'd like to take it a step further, look at some of those things, try to account for better the amount of time between rainfall events and some things like that. And so plenty of room to improve on that. But anyhow, that's where we stand right now, and love to have conversations and hear some of your ideas about where to go with it. We have several ideas, but I'd be happy to answer any questions or have some discussion on that point. So.
Any questions before?
Yeah. Could you look at
root surface? We haven't yet. We could do that. The trait that we're focused on right now was simply rooting depth. I did look at root mass and trying to plot some different things. It's a lot of data, so. Pardon? Yes, that's definitely true. I had tried summarizing it using a linear model, and it's not adequate. So, yes.
You mentioned the word knock-on effect going forward. I'm not sure that anybody would understand that. Did you do this as a?
This yes. Sorry, I should have stated these were 30-year sequences, and so the idea was that, you know, if we wanted to represent the sustainability of this trait, then we needed to have carryover from one year to the next, and so. So there's a fallow period. Well, depending on the region, I didn't get into all of the details, but basically either a cover crop or a double crop or a fallow, depending on the cropping system of the region of the world. So for example, in South Asia, it was a rice crop. But anyway, the idea was that the water balance from one year to the next, there's a carryover. So you initialize and then you run it for 30 years. And so anyway, yes. So that's the idea of the carryover effect of that. So. More in
the effect of
groundwater. Not modeled explicitly. The drainage is in there, but we don't have, you know, groundwater coming up in terms of the model. So that would be something else to consider. Do you mean in terms of irrigation potential or? Okay.
You'd have to be running water table.
No, that's yeah. That was not modeled explicitly. With where the water table would be, sure. And there's no water table explicitly modeled here. The other thing to consider, though, is for example soil depth. And in some cases, the soil depth is not, you know, it's well, in some cases like 60 centimeters. So, you know, deeper rooting, it's not actually there. Yes. Yes, different out. Yes.
So, my first question is, what's the impact on the simulation output?
You could see differences, but it seemed to mostly be an additive effect, and so I put them together. The relative effects, there didn't seem to be an interaction between evapotranspiration method and the rooting depth. There didn't seem to be an interaction there, so I put them together. But if you were to compare between methods, yes, you know, there were differences.
Which was more water demanding?
Priestley Taylor, I think, was more water demanding, and FEO 56 was a bit more conservative. Okay, so this I didn't simulate nitrogen stress because our focus was on the water issue, but if you were to incorporate, obviously the more variables that you incorporate, you know, that's another contributing factor. I mean, so in this case, these simulations, nitrogen was not a limiting factor. If you were to introduce that, then you know that might change the story. And then you would have issues of, well, okay, the impacts of rooting in terms of nitrogen or nutrient capture. So that was not included in this one. Like I said, my colleague at CIMMYT just wanted me to do this in a spreadsheet and give him a really simple answer. And so I was sort of pushing him on that. We can do a little bit better than that. So anyway, Gary, you've been patiently waiting with your hand up. Yeah. Yeah. Salt constrains it, huh? Right. Well, I mean, in effect, you only have your rooting zone is restricted. Yeah, no, that would, I mean, you wouldn't necessarily see the benefit. Now, I mean, it doesn't mean the root traits aren't important, right? You could have better proliferation within but deeper rooting. You're right, that would be a constraining factor. We didn't account for that explicitly. Well, yeah, I mean, this is not intended to be a final thing. It's, you know, it's a first sort of approach to at least get an idea of, you know, in places like, in some parts of the world where you have deeper soils where salt is not constraining, then, you know, salinity is not constraining, then, you know, there might be benefit, but maybe there isn't because there's not enough rainfall to fill the profile up anyway. And so this was the idea of, do we have enough rainfall to replace what we're extracting? And so there, I think this shows that at least there are places where that's the case, although, you know, we need to dig a little bit deeper, pardon the pun, to figure out what's going on in terms of the negative impacts that we saw as well. So, yeah, but that's a good point. Salinity and other constraints too, right? Compaction and things like that. So, do we have time? I don't know how much time we have.
If folks need to leave, you can leave. But I guess we'll entertain one more question.
All right. Yes. Right. So the way that we did the way that we represented the differences in rooting was based on a parameter within series wheat, the CropSim series wheat, which relates to essentially the rate of the rooting depth plane, the progression of the of rooting depth.
Yeah, but that is going to apply to soil.
No, not.
If this is the DSET style, it's an exponential decline going as deep as your soil until you decide to cut it off.
Yeah, from the WISE. The WISE mandates, no?
Don't use WISE to tell us what to do with the DSET soils. But Phil's the one to answer your question.
No.
I'll tell you what. We'll let everyone else go, and you and I can talk about the details. But it's a good. Yeah, Vakhtang, yeah.
Let's thank
all right, thank
and
you.
All the speakers of the session. Thank you.